Support for the Capital Connection comes from
United University Professions, representing 37,000 academic and professional employees at SUNY campuses and teaching hospitals across New York State. Frederick E. Cole, President, UUPinfo.org.
It's the Capital Connection. Hi, I'm Alan Chartok. Joining us this week is New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes, a Democrat. Peoples Stokes serves Buffalo's 141st Assembly District. Welcome back, Majority Leader Peoples Stokes. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, we love having you because you are not only powerful and well-placed, but incredibly smart. So it's wonderful to have your insight with us. Okay, let's begin. The anniversary of the May 14th mass shooting at Top Supermarket in Buffalo that killed 10 and injured 3 is fast approaching. Since then, we've seen what seems like a never-ending series of mass shootings, incidents, and other shootings involving people at the wrong place at the wrong time. Is it just that America is the land of the gun, and in so many cases it's combined with a history of racism? How do we stop this madness, if at all?
Well, that's a really great question, and you know what? I wish I had the answer. I mean, I do not know what the answer is. I do know that it's very hurtful, and people are still hurting as a result of it in the Buffalo community, as well as they are in other communities. I mean, there are people, still parents from Sandy Hook, that haven't got answers and why their children are no longer with them. And so I am at a loss to understand Americans who are literally imploding on ourselves all because of, I don't know if it's just a desire to feel like you have the right to have a weapon, in which I quite frankly believe you do, but I don't believe you have a right to have an assault weapon, and I don't believe you have the right to have a weapon is designed to kill as many people as possible in moments. And so how do you change that? It has to be something that happens at the federal level. And right now I don't see that there is a desire for that to happen. You can tell by the madness that's going on in Congress right now that we're nowhere even near thinking about banning the use of assault weapons in this country.
We are talking with New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples Stokes.
By the way, yeah. Alan, if I could just say this, because I don't think we're anywhere near of acknowledging or dealing with racism and sexism either. Across the country, people are wanting to ban books and stop folks from being taught African-American studies, and it's just going from bad to worse. And I actually feel like, you know, there's an impetus for this, and I think it comes from former president who just kind of co-signed all of it and says it's okay for it to happen. Stood on stage in front of thousands of people bullying folks on a regular basis. And so everybody else feels like they can do that now. Now you have all these stand-your-ground laws. People can't even ring the wrong doorbell nowadays without being shot. So we're in a bad place in this country, and the solution to it is beyond me, but I do stay in prayer.
Well, I think prayer is good, but do you have any other answers?
I don't. Ban assault weapons, that's one. Get rid of stand-your-ground rules that allow people to walk around openly carrying weapons or shoot somebody that walks on their porch or mistakenly drives in their driveway. Those things should not be allowed to happen. But again, I don't see anything at the federal level that leads me to believe that that's going to change anytime soon.
Tops, of course, is in New York State. So is there something specific that the state should be doing?
Well, the state already had laws in place, but people have to implement them. And that young man should have been red flagged, but he wasn't, because the people in his school, the people in his social system around him did not do what they should have done to make sure that he was not in his basement figuring out how to kill as many people, black people, as he could. There are laws in the state that would have prevented that, but they were not implemented. By the way, for disclosure, there are a lot of laws in the state that law enforcement chooses not to implement. The proliferation of these illegal marijuana stores all over the state of New York. That's a violation of the law. They say there's no way that it could be stopped. I don't believe that's true. I think you're deciding that there's no way that there could be stopped, and so you don't do it. So we're in the process now, during our budget process, of figuring out how to give you some more language so that you could feel comfortable that you should do this. You had no problem doing it with stop and frisk of young black men all over the state of New York. On street corners, you asked them to empty their pocket. That's how you found out that they had something in it. I mean, so we have to get to a place where no one is above the law and all the laws are implemented in the same way. They are not in America. They have not ever been. And so if I had the answers on how to solve all of that, I think not only would the world be in a place, but so in a better place, but we all would be in a better place. I don't have the answers how to fix people's internal hatred innate that they pass on to their children for generations, and we still keep living with these degraded mindsets that think that somebody is better than somebody else.
Well, you sit with your colleagues, and you have these great frustrations about what we're able to do and not do. You got any answers that might give us some hope?
Do I have any answers that might give us some hope? Well, I mean, that's some toughie.
Yeah.
What is the answer that would give us some hope? I will tell you that if the mindset is that black people will never be at your equal as a white person, I think you should want to learn history and not stop the teaching of history. Because if you do that, you will see that no matter what you have done to black people, from the day you brought them over here under the belly of a ship, we still have persisted. So it's not working. It's not effective. It's only costing you, meaning government, more money because of the way you wrote your Constitution. So if you really want the cost of government to go down, then you should invest in people's lives in a way that doesn't discriminate against them by delivery of services.
We are talking to New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal People Stokes. What about young people? Don't they have the same hang-ups adults do?
They do because they learn it from adults. Some of them do. Some of them don't. Because when they see what they think they have learned in this guarded environment that they've grown it with, where every time, you know, a person of color looks like they're moving near them, they move further away. Most of them, when they get old enough, they go to communities that are diverse. And they realize that whatever they've been taught is not true. There's nothing wrong with these people. They're okay. And so I think there are some young people who are intolerant of the previous American message. I think we started to see that in very big numbers after the broad daylight killing of George Floyd. And I think we continue to see that until, I don't know, Congress figures out how to get it right. Or Congress will have a Republican Party, of Lincoln. I mean, even for God's sakes, a Republican Party of Ronald Reagan would be a lot better than where we are right now. And so I just think that young people are going to have to push the electorate in a way that will be beneficial, not just to them, their neighbors, and the people who live in and around the country and, in the world, but they also going to have to push the agenda on who's elected. They're going to have to begin using their political power.
Mm.
Not just for marches and protests, but at the voting booth. I think young people can change our world.
We are talking to New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal People Stokes. I want to talk to you a little bit about the emergency cell service. There's another issue that came out of the shooting in rural upstate New York, where Kaylin Gillis was shot and killed after she and her friends turned into the wrong driveway and had to drive several miles to get a cell service range in order to call for help. Delaying the response time, several lawmakers said improving cell service will require a combined effort by government agencies and private service providers. What say you?
I say nobody should be shot for going into the wrong driveway. Somebody should be coming out and say, can I help you? What do you need? Are you okay? Do you need some water? That's what I say. Clearly, there was a time when rural areas didn't have telephone service. I remember this as if it was yesterday, when my father looked at his telephone bill and realized there was an additional charge on there that shouldn't have been there. And he made calls to find out, why is that there? And they said, oh, this is what we're doing to raise money in order to expand telephone lines into rural communities. So, yes, it's a societal responsibility to make sure everybody have access to what they need. So there's no question about that. I'm not even sure why it gets raised. What's more important here than her not having access to the ability to use her cell phone is that she made a mistake and went in the wrong driveway. That's no reason for somebody to be killed. That made me cry. It made me cry just like it did when they killed my people at Tops and the children all over the country. It makes me cry. And so, I mean, we could find other reasons, but we should do this, we should do that. No, we should stop people from thinking it's okay to kill people that they don't even know why they're there. That person in that car could have been coming there to bring something that they needed. Could have been coming to see if they needed, if there's anything I can do to help you. They have no idea why they mistakenly went into their driveway, but they shot. I mean, that is what needs to stop.
We are talking with New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. Majority Leader, let me ask you this. How involved are you as the Majority Leader in the state budget negotiations? Are you, quote, in the room?
I would say that there are 101 of us in the Majority Conference, so there are 101 of us in that room because nothing gets solidified until it comes back into the conference and is discussed, and everybody has an opportunity to weigh their opinion in before the Assembly's position on the issue is concluded. So we're always in the room. And I think it's a misnomer. Obviously, you know, it's good for the media. There's only three people making a decision. That's not true. And we have to kind of stop proliferating that one, Alan.
Okay. If it's okay with you, it's okay with me. We're talking to New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes, a very powerful person. I want to talk to you about something that has always been very close to my heart. I've thought about a great deal, and that is aid in dying legislation. Advocates and lawmakers who want New York to join the states that allow medical aid in dying rallied at the New York State Capitol Monday. Medical aid in dying is allowed by law in 10 states, including Vermont, Maine, and New Jersey. Do you support it, and why?
Right now, yeah. I am not a supporter of medical aid in dying. I'm still interested in talking to people. I have no problem with doing that. But my position is, from the point that we are born, we are going to die. There's no question about that. None of us are going to get out of here alive. Let's be clear. Whether or not it has to be aided is a question that I still have some thoughts about, and I'm not there yet. But I'm willing to keep talking.
Is there anything in particular that bothers you about this debate? Is there something that is going on that conflicts in your own mind when we discuss the issue?
Well, you know, I had a cousin who committed suicide. That hurt. It hurt my whole entire family. My mother died at 96. I just went to my mother's, my aunt's funeral. She was 100. And so and these are people who did not, you know, go to 96 and not have any suffering, any illnesses. But she still lived until 96, and she never thought, well, although she did say she was ready to go home, meaning she was ready to die. Okay, you're ready to die. Well, but it's not your call. There's a higher call that says when it's your time to die. And so I believe that. I told my father that, I told my mother that, and I told my aunt that. And when the time was, they went. So I think that that still should be, you know, the rule of law. However, as I said, I am willing to still have the conversation with anyone who wants to talk about it.
We are talking to the woman I always considered to be really quite brilliant, New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. Changing subjects a little bit, we've heard that the governor's proposal for more housing in New York is out of the budget. Were you supportive of the proposal, and how would you describe the pushback?
Well, honestly, I did not support. I support housing because I do think we need more housing. As a matter of fact, I think that's the reason why the cost of renting goes up so high is because there's not a lot of places for people to live. So build some more. But don't make the decision about local governments how they zone. I mean, I think local government's decision about zoning should stay at local governments. By the way, if you don't want me in your community, don't worry. I'm not coming. But I think that there are There's plenty of space in New York to provide for affordable housing, and I don't think it should be forced on people who don't want it, first. And secondly, you know, there's no question we need more housing. But I think affordable housing should come along with some sort of opportunity for the people who need it to get access to some sort of equity. Now, you know, this is not a normal conversation to be having around rental, but, you know, I personally know people who have lived in rental units for 30 years. And, yes, they, you know, their rent is not the same as it was 30 years ago, but they still take care of the property. They plant flowers. They clean up in front of the place. And when they're gone, they're gone. That's it. There's nothing. I think there should be something for those people other than a return on their deposit that they made 30 years ago to rent a place. There should be something that is a shared value. Like, I appreciate you as a tenant, and the tenant appreciates you as a landlord. And because of that, here's the equity opportunities you have in this property. There is none of that. And I think there should be some more of that. Also, I think there should be more Michelamas where people can actually, or condos. There's not a lot of opportunity to build condos. A lot of professional people in and around the Buffalo area, and I'm sure other areas, they wouldn't mind owning because they don't necessarily plan to stay in the same area for life. But where's the value? What value do you get if there's no equity attached to what you're paying for where you live at? You should get something as well. So I think we need a new construct on affordable housing so that we encourage people, because, you know, to be better tenants, you subsidize people to build the buildings. Why don't we subsidize people to live in them accordingly so that understanding that they get a benefit if they stay, if they don't stay.
So bring us up to date for those of us who are, for want of a better word, ignorant about this. What has become to Michelama and to middle-class housing? My mother built a place called the Riverside Neighborhood Assembly House on 96th Street between Columbus and Amsterdam Avenues. And it gave a lot of people a lot of place to live. I'm wondering, are we still keeping up?
Well, I think we're not keeping up. I think we're going more towards a developer who just wants to build something and gets all the resources. I think we need to go more towards the Michelama model, and I think there are opportunities to do it. So here's the good thing about the governor putting it in her budget proposal is that there was an opportunity for it to be discussed widely and for more people to think more broadly about, you know, how do we both get the housing, sustain the people, and sustain the landlords and the developers who build these places? And so it's a win-win for everybody for us to have additional conversations on it. And there is a commitment to figure out how to make these things happen post-budget, because, as you know, it's not a revenue issue as much as it is a policy issue. And so taking that out of the budget process, to me, made sense.
Talk to me a little bit, if we can. And by the way, I should remind everybody, we are talking to New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. I want to talk about charter schools. Reports say a deal is close on allowing 22 more charter schools for New York City. Where do you come down on charter schools? And just could you remind us what they are?
Well, you know, charter schools are public schools that use public resources to educate citizens. And I actually support charters to the extent that they are not taking away resources from
public,
traditional publics. So I, you know, would love to see it if they would have their own funding stream, because in some ways they're very good. By the way, charter schools have to sign a contract. They say that we're going to successfully be able to educate these children, and they have 5 years to do so. If they don't do so, their charter is not renewed. So there's like 20 or so, well, for lack of a better word, zombie charters in the city of New York. The parents want them. The people want them. And I think there's something that we should allow to happen. But there is obviously no agreement on that during the course of this budget process.
So we are talking to New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. Let me ask you this. If the people want them and the politicians say they want them, how come we don't have them?
Well, not all the politicians say they want them. I'm one of a few that would prefer to have parents have a choice. I mean, it would be different, Alan, if all schools were criteria schools where you had to be, well, you shouldn't be tested to be in any public school, but that's the way it goes. if all schools were at the caliber of criteria schools, it wouldn't be a problem because parents could just send their kids to the school around the corner. But we know that's not the case.
Right.
We know that's not the case. There are some public schools that are inferior, and what they're doing is they're creating a problem for us as a society. If you cannot get a child reading, writing, and computing at the third grade level, by the time they get to fourth grade, they will fail. Because there's nothing new that they can learn. Everything else will be compounded on exactly what those foundational development skill sets are. Many schools throughout the state of New York, and particularly in urban areas, are incapable of doing that. And if they're not incapable, then show me how that you can do it, because you haven't. And every time you don't do that, then you're diminishing the quality and the value of a student that gets sent to high school. And then you're diminishing the value and the quality of the student that gets sent to higher ed. And now we're spending resources, state resources, on remedial classes in college. It's backwards. And if we can't get it right in the forefront, then at least give parents who cannot afford private school, because if parents could afford private schools, they wouldn't care what you did for charters. But they can't. And they're entitled to a free public education. And so if that's the only way they can get access to that is a charter where they know their kids are going to get what they need, let them have that choice.
Isn't there the possibility that charters or the people who run them can be in some way intellectually corrupted?
Oh, absolutely. And that's why there are 20 or so charters that are zombies in New York City, because you said you could do it in 5 years and you didn't. Or maybe you did it in 5 years, but then you didn't do it for the next five. And so there has to be a consistency in what you're delivering, because you basically sign a contract. And are there some people who enter into the charter business simply because they want to make money? I mean, I don't agree with, those for-profit companies that want to be in the business of charters, because that makes it a private school, essentially, because you cherry-pick the students you're going to select and all that sort of thing. So, no, I am not supportive of that. But there are people who are educators who know how to educate, they want to educate, that do start charter schools that are successful. And I think we ought to honor the fact that if we allow our families to send their children to those schools, they will successfully get through high school, they will successfully get through college, and at some point there will be a contributing citizen, meaning a contributing taxpayer, that will be putting into society rather than continuously taking out because they're not properly educated. I love to use this quote by Booker T. Washington. Education is not a philosophy. It's not a theory. It's a process that's supposed to teach you how to live and how to work. Our education system is not doing that, and so if charters can provide us with a little recourse from that, let's try it. And they only have 5 years to prove they can do it. Traditional publics are for decades failing children, and we just keep giving them more money. They say they need more money. You give them more. You give them more. What's the end? Mm-hmm. When is that going to end?
I only have a minute, so I'm going to ask you this question, and you can do with a minute what you like. What do you make of what's happening with abortion around the country? New York has now become a safe haven for women, hasn't it?
It's sad what's happening around the country, Alan. It really is. I mean, for a party that, wants to maintain its liberty, that is constantly infringing on the rights of women, it's hard to understand it. I would never choose that. I wouldn't want to choose it for my children, my grandchildren. I wouldn't want them to choose it. But when you get to be an adult, that is your choice. And no one should be infringing on that at all. And so New York should be a safe haven for people all around the country. By the way, some of these states are also trying to make it illegal if you drive across lines to have your choice. Make it illegal for a doctor to prescribe you a prescription that would be beneficial to your health if you have your choice. These things are crazy. I can't understand them. I don't think they win that game at all.
Unfortunately, we're out of time. Our guest has been New York State Assembly Majority Leader Crystal Peoples-Stokes. Majority Leader, always such a great pleasure and honor to have you with us on the program. We thank you so much.
You know what, Alan, it's my pleasure to be here. It's always a great honor to talk to you. I hope that the next time we get the chance to speak, we'll do so in person so I can also get to see you.
That'd be
great. Have a great day and stay safe.
The Capital Connection is a production of WAMC Northeast Public Radio. Capital Connection is hosted by Alan Chartok. You can listen to The Capital Connection anytime at wamcpodcast.org or anywhere you get your podcasts. You can sign up for weekly show updates by subscribing to our newsletter, Airwaves, and by following us on social media at WAMC Radio. Thanks for listening.